Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday. Oh, I forgot the date. What is today? 17th of January. It's moving along. We're going to do an open line this hour of the program. We had talked, and maybe you were thinking that we were going to do, and we had hoped to do actually, a show on the top libraries and museums in the country, but that has to be rescheduled for someday next week, so just keep it in mind. We'll do it next week. We couldn't do it today because the plans fell through. So we're doing an open line, and we listen to your suggestions. Sometimes you give us terrific suggestions, and as you know, we act on them right away, and sometimes you hear them the next day on the air. We're looking at ideas you have for – we're going to do a lot of political programs because this is a presidential year, and there's a great deal of interest in this topic, and so we will do those. Maybe there are some guests that we've overlooked. It's hard to believe we've overlooked anybody, but we have overlooked, and you want to recommend somebody, or there are different issues that, of course, we will be interested in your suggesting. So the number for you to join us is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. And a reminder that you can always send Rhonda Fanning, producer of the program, and me suggestions any old time. And our email addresses are fanning@wpr.org, and mine is dunnk@wpr.org. Okay, enough said. Let's get rolling. Let's start with Kay from Amory. Hi, Kay.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi. I have a suggestion. Gwen Ifill, I don't know if you've ever had her on. But
we have, yeah.
Oh, I must have missed it. No,
well, it was some time ago.
Okay. But I just, she's a fascinating woman to listen to. I watch her every Friday night on Washington Week in Review. And I would just love to hear her on the air and just more about her.
Okay. And I agree. She was a great guest, and we'll have her on again.
Great.
As soon as we can get her.
Okay.
All right, Kay.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for the call.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan from Oshkosh. Hi.
Hi. I've got a couple suggestions. The first is there's an author named Daniel Reed. I don't know if you've ever had him on. He's got a series of books on like ancient Taoism as practiced by the Chinese, in particular the Tao of Health, Sex, and Longevity, and the Complete Book of Chinese Health and Healing. These are just fascinating books, very readable, and it's talking about this is basically like diet, yoga, things like that, and this wisdom that that ancient Chinese had like thousands of years ago, usually centuries before Western medicine caught up. It's a very fascinating read. I usually give out the Tao of Health, Sex, and Longevity to friends. I've got one who's a nurse who was just fascinated because she was able to see, you know, a lot of echoes in modern, like Western medicine in that.
Okay.
I think that'd be somebody that I would definitely like to hear. I've tried to get in the last hour, too. I was wondering, have you ever had Ron Paul on as a guest?
I haven't. No, I know that both Joy and Ben have had presidential candidates. We haven't had any recently, so I'm sure that – I think Ben may have had him on, but I'm not certain about that. You can rest assured that all of the candidates have been invited to be on the air here, though.
Yeah, I he's someone, you know, I was leaning toward Kucinich, maybe a little Obama until I found out about Ron Paul, and it's been very frustrating how little coverage he's been getting in the media, and so any opportunity to, you know, actually hear him or his ideas, I would welcome.
Mm-hmm. But, all right. Thanks, Nathan.
All right, thank you.
Uh-huh. Goodbye. Eugene from Viola, hi.
Good morning. I've been reading and hearing about the water problems in China, and I don't know if you had the guest on, and I can't think of the author of the book, but the book is Every Drop for Sale.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have.
I'm wondering, I have two comments, but I'm wondering if you could have him back on again. And the second one is, today is Benjamin Franklin's birthday. He just turned 302 years old. And I turned, and it's also my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Eugene.
And I turned 69. I was born in 39. I think I was a leftover from the Depression.
Uh-huh.
But I've been out on my cross-country skis all winter long, cross-country skiing, downhill skiing, and if you could do a program on aging. And just plain staying active. It doesn't take much to do it.
All right, Eugene.
Just get out and put one ski ahead of the other.
Happy birthday, Eugene. Happy birthday,
much.
Ben.
Yeah.
All right,
okay, thanks.
Thanks, bye. It has been a year. We haven't had a year of skiing for a long time, have we? Milton from West Dallas, hello.
Hi, I'd like to comment on the format of the program. The great strength of Wisconsin Public Radio talk programming has always been the callers and the guests, the fact that we kept it simple, the fact that we kept it no frills. At the ECB meeting last week...
Milton, do you have a suggestion for a program? That's what we're doing here today. That's what I'd like to concentrate on.
Okay. I would like to suggest doing a program on the research at the University of California, which has shown a method for improving the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease in minutes. There was a press release, University of California. Go for that. Keep it simple. No bumpers, no sound clips.
Thanks for the call. Rob from Radisson. Hi.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Rob.
I had a possible idea for a show.
Okay.
And some years ago now, I made suggestions for your views on the news, and that seemed to work out pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 months ago, I spoke with Cheryl Gasser, Phil Malvo on Joy Cardine's show,
mm-hmm.
and made a suggestion about a possible show where a regular Joe or Jane would be a guest for the full hour. Once a month, this could be just once a month, I'd like to hear someone with something to say about, you know, whatever. You have so often, and I love it, writers, authors, politicians, but I just like to hear from someone from the street, you know?
How would you find that person, Rob?
Well,
they'd have to be worth listening to, right?
Call out, yeah, just, you know, uh-huh. just advertise, say we're going to do this show and we'd like someone that has something of interest that other people would like to hear. Come forward. I think you'd have no problem getting guests.
Okay. Okay, Rob.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Penny is next from Viroqua. Hi, Penny.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm calling. I heard a woman speak the other day. She does a lecture called The Quest for Peace, and she talks a lot about personal responsibility, based a lot in, you know, kind of Native American traditions, but also a lot about sustainable lifestyles and kind of downsizing a little bit and how we can all kind of work towards inner peace to get peace in the world. And I just thought it was really interesting, you know, because a lot of times we have all the warmongers kind of on.
And where did you hear her, Penny?
I heard about her. She has a place called Echo Valley Farm, and she does a retreat center and that kind of stuff. She was also featured just recently in this issue of Wisconsin Trails magazine as one of the top 20 people in Wisconsin making a difference.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, she was right up there with, like, you know, Organic Valley and the Cole Foundation and the U.S. Forest Service, and then this tiny little farm in Ontario where this woman's making kind of breakthrough. And, you know, a lot of people come up from Chicago and Madison to study with her and really just kind of simplify their lives and learn a little bit more about their own personal responsibilities and the inner peace they can find. I was really surprised to see her amongst all those other people.
That sounds very interesting, and we will carry on with it.
Okay, and her name is Gina Eccles.
Gina
Eccles.
Could you spell that for me, please, the last name?
Sure. Eakles.
I'm glad I asked that. I never would have spelled it that way.
Yeah, right. And she's in the January issue of the magazine.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Penny. Uh-huh, thanks
bye-bye.
For your call. 800-486-8655. Doug is next from Oregon. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you today?
Fine. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. My suggestion, in the south of France, they are working right now on a power generation plant, and it's a combination of 10 countries working on this plant. It's called ITER, ITER.
Mm-hmm.
And the work on the plant is actually to try to harness nuclear fusion, not to be confused with nuclear fission from a power plant, but nuclear fusion, which is actually the chemical reaction that happens in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a plant that's being built right now, and I think it would just have huge implications for our country and as far as providing power and things like that. And I never hear anything about it. And I know it's being constructed right now. I also think there's some ties to the UW-Madison with the electromagnetic lab. So it might be something that you want to look at and maybe have a program on.
All right. There's something we would not have thought of. All right. Thanks, Doug.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Let's go next to Natty from Waupaca. Hi, Natty.
Hi. There's an air car that runs on compressed air, and it's being manufactured in France at this time. And I want to give you the website so you can look it up.
All right.
Okay, it's called theaircar.com.
Okay.
And I can't recall all the details about it, but it sounds very exciting. And again, in France is where they're working on this car.
Huh.
And
is it up and running?
Yes.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about that.
Look up that website and
okay.
Check it out. Theaircar.com.
Theaircar.com.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Natty.
Okay, bye.
Uh-huh. Goodbye. Jim from Milwaukee. Hi.
Yeah, hi. I'm interested in I'm not going to recommend a specific book today, but just a general theme, which is the differences between progressives and conservatives as to how the government should operate in the service of people. And I'll just cite two quick things from the news. One is that in today's Milwaukee Journal, page 3, they're talking about the fact that Bush is going to veto improvements on mining safety that the Democrats have proposed. And also, of course, we know about the fact that apparently the regulatory agencies didn't do a very good job of regulating the bad loans that were are now affecting a certain number of people in foreclosures. And they're illustrative of a different point of view of how the government should work. And Paul Waldman in the book Being Right is Not Enough, specifically page 114, says that, for example, that progressives think that businesses should be good citizens and that the corporations should take responsibility for their actions, and that he states that the conservative point of view is that corporate profits are more important and that conservatives give the powerful a free pass to harm people. So this is a fundamental difference in the point of view of what government should or shouldn't do. And so just in general, if you or your staff can come up with books that or author guests that might illustrate these differences, I think it would be educational for people.
All right, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Uh-huh. Bye. Nancy from Milwaukee. Hi.
Hello. I feel that it is very important for states to retain their individual states' rights concerning marriage, driving, drinking, inheritance, and et cetera, et cetera. But I do believe that the election of a president is very, very important, and that all states should be required to use the same method of holding a primary. I know that would involve a change in the Constitution, but so be it. And I also would like to know and have you have a guest on to explain why all primaries cannot be on the same day. I think that because we've had in the past years a tremendous advancement in the technology of communication, all the participants are readily able to get out their messages, and I don't understand why the primaries have to be so separated in time, which I think is just convenience for the participants to be able to be in that state the day of the primary. I'd like to have all primaries on the same day because I think all our votes would have a lot more meaning.
All right, we should do a show on that, how we got this hodgepodge that we have right now and what would be better and what would keep that from happening and what are the drawbacks and what are the things to commend a certain way of choosing a presidential candidate. But it would be a good show, Nancy.
Thank you.
All right, thanks so much for the call.
Bye-bye.
Carolyn from Highland, hi.
Good morning, Catherine, and thank you for taking my call. My story idea is based around the current mental health laws in all 50 states. I naturally hear the regular news, and there's atrocities that happen every couple weeks, so many times with our young people. There was the police officer up in Cranston, and I'm dumbfounded to find a reason why, with a national election, the concept of revising laws for putting people in a safe environment so that they will not harm others when they have indicated that there is a possible threat or a danger, and especially basing off the Virginia massacre, basically, 30 people die, and people had knowledge that that man was not well. And I just cannot really get over the fact that no one is saying we need to update our mental health laws, and I think Wisconsin would be a great place to begin to articulate and highlight the issue.
Okay. Great, Carolyn. Thank you. We go to Drew from Milwaukee. Hi, Drew.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Good. So here's my idea. You know, and your producer asked if I was telling them. I'm not, but I'm a Mac fan, and I was reading the small print after they introduced their new notebook computer. I think it's a great topic for consideration. They basically were talking about how they were trying to make the most green computer yet, and, you know, using LEDs and low power emission and all these other things. You know, the problem in high-tech devices and cell phones in particular, in terms of chemicals that seep into the water tables and whatnot, and how to prevent, contamination and environmental problems, and obviously greenhouse emissions as a result of the production and use of these devices. I think that's a really interesting topic, and I think it'd be great to explore developments in that field.
Hi, Drew. That's something different for us. Thank you.
Sure.
We're going to take more phone calls in a moment. It's an open line for the month of January, and our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, Milwaukee Callers 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go back to phone calls now for our January open line. Mark from Endeavor, hi.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes.
I'm reading The Assault on Reason by Al Gore right now, and I know he's probably not an easy guy to get, but if anybody's got the juice, you guys do, so it'd be a very interesting hour. I'm also reading a book by Sarah James and Torborn Lottie. It's called The Natural Step for Communities, and it's a book that gives a kind of a values framework for moving toward sustainable eco-municipalities, and it's a book that's getting a lot of attention around the country and even in Wisconsin.
And the authors again are?
Sarah James and Torborn Lottie. That's a Scandinavian spelling I couldn't.
Right. All right.
I think it's L-A-H-T-I.
That's fine. We can go with Sarah James. Yeah, we've tried to get Al Gore. He's just a real hard guy to book. Let's face it.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. But the other one could be much more doable for us. So we'll be on it. Sounds good. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Bye. Joe is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a couple of suggestions. One is Michael Pollan.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote The Omnivore's Dilemma.
Yes, he's a great guest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's coming to town here, I believe, this week to speak at Alverno.
Oh, is he? Oh,
right.
Okay.
The next one is Marion Nestle. She wrote a book called What to Eat. And I'm in the middle of that now, and it goes aisle by aisle in the grocery store and runs down, you know, the chemical makeup of the foods and organic versus natural and stuff like that. It's fascinating.
Have you changed the way you eat, Joe, as a result?
Well, I was been trying to pay attention to it ever since I returned from Alaska. And, you know, it's just insight on how to do it right.
Mm-hmm. All right, Joe. Thanks very much.
You bet.
Bye.
Bye.
Diana from Blair. Hi.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling to suggest that you have someone speak about why there is a necessity to control puppy mills, the conditions, how the animals are raised and so forth. I know the Clark County Humane Society in Neillsville has done a lot of work on this. And I can give you their phone number if you'd like.
You may want to. Do you have access to a computer? I just don't like to give phone numbers over the air because.
Well, this is okay. No, I don't have access to a computer.
All right,
but
we can find the number certainly.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for the call.
Bye.
Let's go to Craig from Onalaska. Hi, Craig.
Good morning. My suggestion is somebody to discuss the possibility of producing electric energy from the current of the Mississippi River. Seems like it's 1,200 miles. I'm not sure how long, but you know, you've got dams in the current, and it would seem that there'd be some way of producing electricity from that current.
All right. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Thanks very much for the call. Let's go to Al from Bayfield. Hi, Al.
Hello. How are you this morning?
Fine, Al. How are you?
I'm good. A couple quick ones for you. One I picked up on BBC News at night a couple of nights ago, night of the 15th, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. This is something new from Microsoft. They are developing, as I understand it, and it's going to have to be checked out, a computer function that would monitor employees' things like heart rate, blood pressure, stress level, facial expressions, attitudes. I don't know how this would happen, but it sounds to me like nothing more than a step toward Big Brotherism. It was they just gave it a quick report, and that was all I heard. But I would be interested in hearing more about what really that's all about. Can I throw another one quick on as a response to one that was just called in?
Sure.
Fellow was asking about sustainability and Torborn Lottie and so forth. I'm up in Bayfield, and we're one of the leaders in the state in this whole sustainable area. There are a group of people who were in Sweden last summer touring with Lottie, and he's been over here speaking a couple of times. I'll give you a name in Bayfield. She doesn't know I'm even doing this, but she's a neighbor of mine. Nancy Sandstrom, Sandstrom. She was involved in the trip overseas, I think could, not necessarily as a speaker, but as a contact to get more information, because he's been very active over here.
Well, that sounds very interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye. Edith from Madison. Hi.
Yeah. Oh, Kathleen, my heart is so heavy even going to ask you to consider this as a subject. I was watching, and I avidly watch Frontline on PBS. The other night, it was an expose on Cheney. It was entitled Cheney's Law, of how he has developed this force of power in the presidency, taking it away from the rest of government, from the people, and so forth. And a long time ago, I heard on the Ideas Network somebody mentioning exactly what fascism is, corporate control of government. And that made me remember, way back in the days of Hitler's Germany, how it was the huge corporations in Germany that had a complete lock on that government, and they were backing Hitler. And as I was listening to this, watching this program on Frontline developing, I couldn't get it out of my mind as though this is where we're heading. I would so greatly appreciate some political analyst who has a real understanding of just exactly what fascism is.
Okay. All right, Edith.
It's a horrible subject. I realize that.
It's not a lot of fun.
It is not.
No.
It's so scary.
All right, Edith. Thank you. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. Marilyn from Cleveland. Hi.
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 I'm calling about a retired professor from River Falls, a Wisconsinite, who went with a church group to Palestine to stand between the Palestinians while they picked their olives and the settlers.
Mm-hmm.
They're unarmed, and he was assaulted, beaten up, and has never had any forum to talk about not only what happened to him, but what's going on in Palestine from the Palestinian viewpoint. And I think he would be an unusual guest.
What's his name?
James Delaplane, D-E-L-A-P-L-A-I-N.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in River Falls.
Okay, Marilyn.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for the call. We've done a show on that project before, but James was not a guest, so... All righty. Let's go to Craig from Watertown. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Kathleen. So, yeah, I would like to reinforce the thought about the natural step and the eco-municipalities. There are 17 eco-municipalities in Wisconsin right now, and these places are dedicating themselves to understanding what sustainability is and how it can be implemented within local governments. That's really important right now. My suggestion would be to have Professor John Eichert on, who is going to be touring Wisconsin, speaking January 23rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, I think. And he's really good at speaking to reductionist thinking versus holistic thinking and ecological economics, and then being able to shape into the form of a metaphor how we can become sustainable. So he's really good. You should have him on.
So where do we find him? Where does he teach?
He's a retired professor emeritus at the University of Missouri.
Okay.
And I'm in the car right now. I don't have access to his numbers, and but I could email something to you.
Great, thanks. That would be nice.
Thank you.
Thanks. And the email address is, in case you can't get to a phone today for our open line, you can always send us an email. It doesn't have to be on just open line day. It's Fanning, Rhonda is the producer, F-A-N-N-I-N-G at WPR.org, and my email is Dunk, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org. Okay, back to your phone calls. Steve from Rice Lake, hi. Oops, there we go. Hi, Steve, go ahead.
Yes, we've had on before, and I haven't heard him recently, Cass Sunstein, I think, constitutional law professor, who I think was at University of Chicago, and he is well-versed in talking about constitutional law issues, the erosion of liberties, the recovery of liberties through the legislative process. And previously he's been very informative in a way that communicates complex issues to the public, and anytime he's back on, he would be welcome.
All right, Steve. Yep. Thank you. Carl from Madison, hi. Wait a second, we got a problem here with our phones. Are you there, Carl?
Yep.
Yes. Hi, Carl.
Hello.
Hello.
I've got one of those weird ones again. Copyrights. It's not well known, but the Founding Fathers hated copyrights. The Stamp Act was partially about copyrights, and they didn't even want to allow copyrights or, you know, protection of intellectual property. They thought it should be free for a number of reasons. I wish I'd have a guest on it to go through that past history and then compare what's going on today. It's totally different. And I assert that this is really a profoundly important topic that is going to come back to bite everybody in the next 10, 20 years.
How so?
Well, just the whole Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the ability of digital matter to be transmitted over the Internet.
I see.
There has to be some protection, but the thing is right now, it started out, I think copyrights are for 14 years. Now they're basically infinite.
Hmm.
So if you could get somebody that knows the history, it is fascinating because when it gets into the history of it, people will be surprised.
Okay, Carl.
Or she, I should say. Thank you. Bye now.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the call. Dorothy from West Dallas. Hi.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. I have a couple selections here. One is on the Society of Glycobiology, and they are a nonprofit scholarly society, and they talk about the glycan structures and functions.
The what?
The glycan structures.
What is it?
It's a worldwide thing. They're having their meeting in Fort Worth, Dallas, and the president is Dr. Jock.
Yeah, but what is it?
What is it?
Yeah.
It is on the necessity of the 8 sugars in the body.
Oh, okay.
And the president of the society is Dr. Jock, J-A-C-Q-U-E-S.
Mm-hmm.
And last name is B-A-E-N-Z-I. GER, they also put out a magazine called Glycobiology, and they're having their last meeting was in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
The next meeting is going to be in Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay.
And then the next one is on epigenetics. This was Duke University, they have a professor of radiation oncology,
mm-hmm,
that is studying Duke epigenetics, and he and his postdoctoral student had a very exciting thing on disease, heredity, and identity. It was also in 2020. It was also in the book Survival of the Sickest, which is a medical maverick discoverer.
Mm-hmm.
Why We Need Disease.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also Dr. Alex Schumacher in Germany is very famous in this, and he's having tremendous luck in therapy for leukemia,
okay,
epigenetic therapy for leukemia.
Uh-huh.
And they have an international conference once a year. And then the last one, so I don't get you tired, is Thyroid Solution. It's out on a second printing. I don't know the author. I know they're getting it, the book at West Ellis Library. So okay. I'm on the first one. I asked for, and they said that is on order.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know the author, but that is, I skimmed the whole book at the bookstore. It was very exciting.
Okay. Thank you, Dorothy, for all your suggestions. Steve from Oshkosh is next. Hi, Steve.
Please consider having somebody on from the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. They help cities around the world and the United States reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. You may remember that I previously, months ago, I told you that the mayor of Oshkosh has decided to sign the U.S. Mayor's Climate Protection Agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, just this Monday, one of the things that he did as a result was revive an environmental committee for the city government. And I'm on that now, and we had our first meeting this Monday, and the first thing on the agenda is to join this organization. And I can give you the phone number, et cetera.
We'll just look it up. Where are they located?
Oh, okay. WWW, mm-hmm. You need the W's. ICLEI.
ICLEI.
.org.
Okay.
/US.
Okay. All right, Steve.
Madison, yeah. Milwaukee, and Dane County are already members of it in Wisconsin.
Right. All right. Thanks very much for the call. I know that a show has been done on this recently, but we can do another. Mary is next from Madison. Hi, Mary.
Hello. Yes, I would like a program on climatology. You could have a climatologist explain, given our population, what's going to happen to the soil, water, and air. They talk about other gases. They'll go on, talking about carbon dioxide, but they really don't go beyond talk about methane gas and other gases.
Mm-hmm.
And, what we can do to reverse this, if we can.
Okay, Mary.
And also, I would like that program on fascism, because I also saw that Cheney program, and it was really chilling.
Okay, thanks very much for your call.
Hi.
Linda from Monroe is next. Hi, Linda.
Good morning, Kathleen. I have two guests. The first one is Randall Dodd. He's with the Economic Policy Institute, and he wrote an article on July 24th, 2007, it's called Tax Breaks for Billionaires. It says loophole for hedge fund managers costs billions in tax revenue. And it also said the top three hedge fund dealers earned $4.4 billion for 2006. And I think he would make a good guess. That's my first article. Now, the second one, I read an article in the Capital Times on January 15th. It's on page D8 of the... in the business section. It's called Economic Bad News Continues by Martin Krutzinger, and I think he'd make a good guess. He's an AP writer, and it says the Labor Department reported that wholesale inflation was up 6.3% for all of 2007, reflecting a huge increase for the year in various types of energy costs, ranging from gasoline to home heating oil. And, our Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke, wants to lower the interest rates at the end of the month again. And at the end of the article, it said, it was the biggest annual price gain since the 6.3% rise in 1981, a year when the Federal Reserve was aggressively raising interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Paul Volcker was the Fed chairman at that time. And I'm confused. Who's right? Is Paul Volcker right in lowering the interest rates raising the interest rates to fight inflation, or is Ben Bernanke right in lowering the interest rates to fight inflation? I think it helped in 81, but I'm confused.
Okay.
So I think Martin Krutzinger would make a good guess.
All right. Thanks, Linda.
All right. Thank you.
Lewis from Hebron. Hi.
Good morning, Catherine.
Hello.
I'm hearing a lot of people talking about fascism and interest rates and Ron Paul. I think Ron Paul would be a great guest to have on to talk about all those issues. Not to mention, he could use a little airtime. So if you could, Kathleen, please get Ron on.
Yeah, we've the other shows have had a lot of the presidential candidates on, and we will have our turn to do the same. So to tell you the truth, I'm not sure if he's been on with Ben or Joy, but he has not been on with us, and we'd be happy to talk with Ron Paul and all the others. Eleanor from Nelsonville, hi.
I would like to hear Karen. Now I can't say her last name. She has she's at the UW, and she has a statewide article that she's done, Who Gets Grandma's Yellow Pie Plate? Karen Goble.
Okay.
This is birthday week. My husband and I turned 86 this week.
Oh, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. And he's plowing snow, but the estate planning is an essential thing. There's a lot of us senior citizens.
Right. Who gets Grandma's...
Who gets Grandma's yellow pie plate?
What's the answer?
Well, a silent auction. You put have the heirs come in and have a silent auction. Give each kid, say, $1,000 play money that does not have to go into the estate.
Hmm. All right. Well, that sounds interesting, Eleanor.
And I think it's a very interesting thing. She's at the university. Karen
okay.
Goble.
All right. We'll find that. Thanks, Eleanor. Okay. Happy birthday again.
Well, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Warren from West Bend. Hi.
Good morning.
Hello, Warren.
Actually, it's Alan, but that's okay.
Oh, we got to get your name right. Alan. Hi, Alan.
I would like to actually propose that you adopt perhaps once a month show that you select a topic and you bring in an expert that will attempt to reverse what I like to call the trend of stupidity that is gripping basically everywhere you look. And, for example, you had a program on the anniversary of 9/11 when you had an expert who had done the research and all the people were killed, and I listened to it, and you had a caller who slipped through who said he wanted the expert to address the fact that no one Jewish had died in the attack, and therefore it was a Zionist plot. And you immediately shut him off. You didn't let the expert address it. And I don't believe that, and I know it's absolutely insane to even think that. But here was an expert and a chance to firmly and irrevocably say, yes, I have done the research. That's not true.
Yeah, I didn't do a show on this, Alan. That wasn't my show. I don't know what you're thinking of, but it wasn't my show.
But I'd like to hear an ongoing series where things that people think they believe, like the theories that the British government actually killed Princess Diana, that we have cars that can run on, you know, just to attempt to reverse the trend of stupidity that seems to be everywhere. I know people who will argue fervently that they believe that corporations run the country, for example. Like you had your guest, your previous suggestion about Dick Cheney is going the way of the Nazis, and yet if you listen to NPR regularly, you hear the political junkie. You could have him on as a specialized guest, and he could give you chapter and verse why that's completely untrue, not happening. The next election will reverse it. And I think once a month, just attempt to get the popular sentiment. What are people believing out of ignorance? And here's the facts.
Okay. Thanks, Alan, very much for your call. Let's pause for a moment. It's open line for the month of January. Our number is 800-486-8655. In Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Open line for January is what we're doing this hour. Give us your suggestions of guests you'd like to have on the air, topics you'd like to have discussed. 800-486-8655 is our number, 227-2050. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, is it Jackie from Plymouth?
Thank you for taking my call. Yes, mm-hmm. I have three suggestions. One is that if you could do a program on the group of people in the United States who are now calling for a debate, the presidential debate, specific to the questions of science and technology. It's and what they note is that only three questions have been asked in relationship to science or technology of any of the debates, only three.
And that you could reach them through their website, and that would be Science Debate 2008.
Science Debate 2008. That's a good topic. Okay.
Yes, and just found the next request would be to interview the man who wrote a book called Redemption, The Myth of Pet Overpopulation and the No-Kill Revolution in America. It's a profound book. His name is Nathan Wingard, Winograd. Yeah.
Nathan who?
W-I-N-O-G-R-A-D.
Okay.
Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
The book is really profound on what we're doing. Then the third one would be once I heard you talk about the men's movement in the United States and from what was happening in the conservative religious movement. In
the Texas. What movement?
A men's movement, men's spirituality movement. I might be saying it different than you had languaged it, but it was looking at what the conservative men's movement was like, conservative religious men. And there is a liberal religious men's movement also that could be brought up, and the person you would talk with who is a co-founder of it would be Tom Owen Toll, and he's written a number of books, and it's very different, a very different look at men and women's relationship and what men need to do for themselves. I think it'd be a very enlightening conversation with him, too. So his name is Tom Owen Toll. That's Owen with a dash and T-O-W-L-E. And you need to contact him in Santee, California.
So, all right.
Thank you,
Jackie.
Those are my suggestions.
Okay, thanks for the call. Let's go to Diane from Middleton. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Thank you. On the subject of presidential candidates, this might be a really good time to get Kucinich because he's on the air a lot. About how the Supreme Court of Nevada took away his right to be in the debate 45 minutes before the debate started.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one would be a discussion as soon as possible about a bill called S-1959, which is the homegrown Radicalization and Terrorism Act, because it passed the House an incredibly high margin. But it's really like an introduction, a reintroduction of McCarthyism in the country. And people need to know about it because it's going to be in the Homeland Security Committee right away or soon.
Okay. All right, Jane.
Those are my points, and thank you.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Bye. David from Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. I think we should have a show on conspiracies and have Dr. Dave Berkman as the guest and let all of your 9/11 blow up the buildings folks and Obama is a Muslim and whatever, all of those folks call in, get it out of their system.
Oh, that sounds like a real fun show.
Wouldn't that be, though?
Yeah, I don't think so, David.
Okay.
All right.
Thought,
yeah, thanks very much for the call. Pete from La Crosse, hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Your voice makes my coffee taste better, so thank you.
Oh, Pete, what a nice thing to say.
I actually have two suggestions. I'm reasonably sure you've had this person on before, but Noam Chomsky.
Yes, it's been a long time, though.
It has been a long time. I haven't heard him for a long time, and I'd love to hear him. And then another thing is, I hope this isn't too Art Bell for you, but magnetic pole reversal is something I've been hearing about more as of late. There's a book out. I forget who the publisher is, but it's called 2012, and it's about 8 or 9 different PhD professors in the United States, which about the different things that can be happening. Climate change as well, but they talk about magnetic pole reversal, where essentially it's happened 17 times in the Earth's history, apparently, where the Earth literally flips in a very short period of time. And it's not a real lighthearted subject, but it's pretty interesting.
And so what happens when it flips?
There's basically 20-mile tidal waves that cover the Earth and water. Yeah. So that's, it's like I said, it has happened before, and it's scientifically proven that it has happened before, and I've just been hearing more and more about it lately, and I don't know, it's interesting to me, at any rate.
All right, Pete.
Thank you.
Very much. Thank you for the call.
You bet.
Matt from Viroqua. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. I'd like to see a program on the Wisconsin livestock siting law. It was a program, a law passed a few years ago. It really should have been called the Factory Farm Protection Act. It's a law that takes away local government's ability to write regulations dealing with mega farms. We waged a campaign in Vernon County this summer to try to get a moratorium because of some large-scale hog operations that are targeting our county. And we were horrified to learn that Department of Agriculture, backed by the largest industry, the National Pork Producers, Monsanto, these huge agri-giants, have pushed this law through that just strips local people's ability to fight these large farms. And there's a ton of information coming out right now on the public health effects of this type of agriculture.
Do you have a guest?
There's a number of people. David Wallinga, W-A-L-L-I-N-G, works for the International Agriculture Trade Association up in Minneapolis, and he's done a lot of work on the health effects. And I could email you a whole list.
Yeah, if you would please, Matt, that would be helpful.
Okay, well, thank you.
I think our audience would enjoy such a discussion. And it's Dunk, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org, Carbon Rhonda, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org.
Okay, well, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Matt. Uh-huh, goodbye. Zeet from Fish Creek, hi.
Hi. I would like to suggest that you invite the head of the Yale Center for Faith and Culture, Yale University, Miroslav Volf, to discuss their reconciliation program, which is a program to establish contacts of scholarly and clerical nature between the Islam and Christian community of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a program that has just started about a year ago. And it is very important and one that deserves attention. And there have been contacts already, major contacts. And you can go to the website for Yale Center for Faith and Culture and go to the reconciliation program, or you can contact Miroslav Volf directly, I'm sure.
Okay, that
His
sounds...
last name is V-O-L-F. He's the head of the Faith and Culture Center at Yale University.
Okay. Thank you, Zeet.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's a good suggestion. Bye. Jeff from Eau Claire. Hi.
Hi. I suppose I could have emailed you, too, but I went through the extra trouble of driving snowing up here in Eau Claire, and I've been waiting for this program, so I could suggest Robert Zubrin.
Okay.
And his book is called Energy Victory. And I think the subtitle is Winning the War on Terror by Achieving Energy Independence or something like that.
Okay.
But I know the topic can get kind of boring or esoteric.
Not for our audience. It never is.
It's about he's talking about biofuels and
yes.
He just was very entertaining when I saw him on Book TV on C-SPAN 2 a couple weeks ago, and he made me laugh a number of times, and I think he'd be a good guest for a radio audience.
Jeff, you've convinced me.
Yeah, check him out.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye. Paul is next from New Berlin. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Thanks. Yeah, I was wondering if you could do a program on consumer habits and the types of products' impacts on society, our health, and everything, and possibly take a look at a way of taxing what we purchase, depending on how it does, how the production from the beginning to the final disposal of the packaging and the waste, and so that perhaps on the barcode, when people purchase the product, the true cost to society and to our health could be somewhat reflective in the tax that would be added on by the barcode, a whole criteria by which, standards by which to judge how good any one product that we're consuming is for our health and environment.
Yeah, that's an interesting suggestion. Okay, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Running short on time, Jesse from Richland Center. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering if you could put someone on the air who had come from the Pfeiffer Treatment Center in Warrenville, Illinois. They work with people who suffer from schizophrenia, autism, bipolar, things like that, and how they help with the importance of nutrition. There's a woman who works there. Her name's Judy Bowman. She's incredible doctor. I guess a man named Pfeiffer had come up with this a long time ago, and it's one of four treatment centers in the United States that do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's had an impact in my life, and I know it's had impact in other people's lives, and they're just doing incredible work. And I really think it's about time that somebody sort of recognize them in a more national way to sort of, I know a lot of things are coming up now in different reports and magazines and stuff about the importance of nutrition
right.
for one's mental health.
All right, we'll check this out. We're out of time. Thank you very much, Jesse, for your call. If you didn't get through and you would like to send us a suggestion of a program, please do so by email. The email address is Dunk@WPR.org, that's me, and Fanning, FANNING.org, is Rhonda. We always appreciate your suggestions, and sometimes they're just fabulous suggestions, and we're on them right away. But thank you for being involved and thinking and being creative. That's it. Thank you, John Treader, for on-air production. Thanks for your calls. We'll be with you tomorrow on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.